Tonight's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by friends of Benyal Englander, Lizchus Rufur Shlema, for Zecharia Kalman Benyal Margalit. So we're going to continue the sugya of Pasachim tonight, but tonight we're going to start getting into the halacha lemaisa. I think we've pretty much, I wouldn't say exhausted the Rishonim, but we've gotten a good picture, I think, of how the Rishonim and the Gemara, and the primary issue, which of course is whether the Gzeira still exists. It exists partially, or does not exist at all. And the Tosfos had said that it was something that was Ein Rov HaTzibur Chol Lamaba, and therefore the Gezerah never applied, it never stuck to begin with. Others say that it stuck, but it was partially removed. How you learn the Lamdas and that, we had all the different Shittos last night of how it could be partially removed, if it did stick to some extent. And then we closed last night with the Rambam, in source number 8, where the Rambam seems to take a pretty strict stance on Pasachim. In source number 9, rather, the Rambam writes that there are some Mekamos that are Mekel B'davar V'lokchen Pasanachto Ma'akum V'makum She'ein Sham Nachto Yisrael, that some places they'll buy a baker's bread if the baker's a non-Jew, only if there's no Jewish baker, U'besada, and you happen to be out in the field, because that's considered a shasad chak. Now he understands sada to be a shasad chak, right? That's l'chora, what Pshar in the Rambam is. Rashi said, what's the heter of sada? Is that it's not that it's that you're desperate, it's just that when you're in the sada, it's not a situation that's going to arise very frequently, so you're not going to develop an ongoing relationship like you would with your neighborhood baker. Your neighborhood baker you might have an ongoing relationship with, but out in the sada, you're not going to have an ongoing relationship, it's akray the alma. The Rambam seems to be assuming, no, sada, the whole idea of sada, and someone, one of you guys mentioned this possibility a couple of nights ago when we started the sugya, that sada is, it means that there's no other food available. So because there's no other food available, you need to cut corners, we need to come up with kulas. So this is a kula that we come up with, that in the sada, so again, only if it's, so the heter of sada, according to the Rambam, does not work on its own. You can't take from a Akum who's a balabayis, who's not a nachtum, who's not a professional, you're not allowed to take his bread besada. Only if it's both a nachtum and besada, then the two go together to work. And I think that connects very much into what we were describing last night when we were trying to figure out what is the yesod of these heterim. Is the yesod of these heterim that in these situations you don't need to worry about chaslus, that chasnus is no longer a concern? Or is the yisod of these heterim what the Yerushalmi refers to as chaye nefesh, that it's so critical to your daily existence and your daily eating habits that you need to have this bread, it's chaye nefesh. So maybe the Rambam's saying you need both in order for it to work, in order for the heter to work. The Rambam's saying you need it to be a nachtom, and you need to be sada. Nachtom, which we refer to as palter, addresses the issue of chasnus. So yeah, it's not likely that it's going to come to chasnus when you're dealing with a nachtum. The way the Rambam understands the heter of sadeh, what's the heter of sadeh in the Rambam? Now Rashi's understanding the heter of sadeh also addresses the chasnus issue. Rashi says, yeah, when you're besadeh, you're not going to have an ongoing relationship. Mela, there's not going to be a problem with chasnus. It's not going to lead to assimilation. But how does the Rambam understand sadeh? No, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam understands sadeh that it's shasad chak, which is, in other words, chaye nefesh, l'chora. Right? One l'chora could read this Rambam as saying that in order to be mekel with pas akum, you need to address both ends of it. You need to show that it's a major need, and you're going to need a situation that's also not a major concern of chasnus. That's why I think just pashup shot in reading the Rambam, that's what it seems to imply. Aval, the Rambam says, pas palei batim, ein sham mi shamar bala hakel. No one will tell you that you could be made with pas palei batim, sheikra gzerim shum chasnus, because the main concern is a concern of chasnus, and if you can't address the concern of chasnus, you have a problem. If you start eating some random non-Jew's food, you're going to end up eating in his house also, and we can't have that. That we can't allow. Yeah, questions,
Since
comments?
The Rambam, Sada is much more loved up, because he defines Sada as Mishum Shasatah.
Yeah.
Sada is
not a location, Sada is a situation.
Exactly. Rashi might be a little more...
Rashi's more that Sada...
On the road,
Right. Although it's also a situation, but yeah. But meaning a sada is when you're guaranteed that you're in that situation, according to Rashi. That when you're in the sada, you know this is not going to be an ongoing thing. When you're out of town in some other neighborhood, you don't know that it's not going to be an ongoing thing. Maybe you're going to move there. Maybe you're going to like it there. But sada is where you know you're in that. According to the Rambam, you're right. Sada is shasat chak. It means that there's... Now, the question, though, is, though, why do you need Ein Sham Nachtam Yisrael and sada? Right? Meaning, L'chora, Ein Sham Nachtam Yisrael should have done it. What does the sada add when it's Ein Sham Nachtam Yisrael? So perhaps the assumption is you can make your own bread. When you're in your house, when you're around a city, a community, you'll be able to figure something else out. But when you're in the sada, that's when it's really desperate. So the Rambam does seem, within this one halacha, to address both points. We were trying to figure out which is the ikar. What's going to allow us to compromise in the Yisra Pas Atum? Is it when there's no longer a concern of chasnus, or is it when there's a big enough need? And the Rambam says you need both. It needs to be that you're going to address the chasnus problem by saying it's a palter, and it's going to be a big enough need. It's out in the sada, it's somewhere where it's very difficult. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Yeah.
Why don't we just stress to the chasnus?
Okay, I mean, that's the way the Gemara said it, right? So he's paraphrasing the Gemara. So he's saying the Sada, and he's giving a Peshan in the Gemara. That's the part of the beauty of the Mishnah Torah, is it's really a commentary on the Gemara also. You just have to read it as such. Yeah, you.
We're just saying that according to Rashi, you only need a heter of being not afraid of fastness, basically. And if Rashi were to be Posik,
yeah,
then you only need one head.
Well, we don't know. Rashi's just explaining what that line of Gemara means. Now, that line of Gemara seems to be an independent line where the Baal Memra, who was it, Rabbi Yochanan? Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even if you hold Palter Rabbi Chavim is okay, that's only Besada Avalobi'ir. So Rashi's just saying Pshat in that line. How you would paskin, and whether you also need that there's not going to be a Palter Yisrael there. Right, that's a different issue. Right. Question? No? Yeah.
I don't really understand. What do you mean by shasad chak, by bread? That he's going to die if he doesn't.
Right. So we discussed this a little last night, but chay nefesh, okay. Chay nefesh, we pointed out, can't mean you're going to die if you don't have it. That's what we call tikuach nefesh. Chay nefesh means that it's just a basic staple of everyday living. And the Chachamim weren't gozer to take away a basic staple of everyday living. Or they.
Shasad Chak doesn't seem to fit in with that meaning, though. I mean, Shasad Chak is like a last ditch effort, isn't that? I mean, isn't that kind of.
Well, Shasad Chak in the sense that you're not going to be able to get bread. He doesn't say you're not going to be able to get food. You might have plenty of meat and you'll be able to kill an animal out in the field and make a fire or whatever, but you're not going to be able to get bread. And bread is a staple of every meal. And therefore, the Chum didn't want to take it away from us, or couldn't take it away from us. The Gzera didn't work to take that away from us. Okay, question? No. Okay, so that's how the Rambam seems to be pretty strict about this, right? The Rambam seems to be of the Rishonim that deal with our sugya. The Rambam seems to be on the strict end of things. Now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in Si'if Beis, so the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Yesh mekamos shemekilim bedavar. He says you should know there are some places where they're mekil. The lokchim pas minachtam ovit kochavim b'makom shein sham nachtam Yisrael, and they'll buy from a non-Jewish baker when there's no Jewish baker around. Mepreshi shasad chak, because that is a shasad chak. That's Shulchan Aruch says. Source number one, Sif Beis. That's because it's a shasad chak. So the very much like the Rambam, not as strongly worded. What does he leave out of the equation over here? He leaves out sada, right? He doesn't say a specific circumstance, just says that the circumstance is when there's a non-Jewish baker, but there's no Jewish baker, that's the definition of shasad chak. So very much, right, like we were saying before, that sada is not so dafka, right? At least that's the way the Shulchan Aruch seems to understand, if he in fact is passing like the Rambam. Normally, when the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, he quotes the exact lashon of the Rambam. He tries to be loyal to the Lashonos of the Rambam, even he quotes word for word usually, but it's likely that he's paraphrasing the Rambam over here. Says the Ramah, V'yesh omrim da'afilu b'makam shepas Yisrael matzui shari. Some say that even if pas Yisrael is available, it's still mutter to get pas from a guy, provided that, right, the Ramah doesn't say this, but it's obvious, provided that it's a nachtom, because the Ramah is going on the first half of the sentence where the Rambam was talking about a nachtom, he was talking about a baker. Right, a palter. Well, we call him the sugya palter. He wasn't talking about a balabayas. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues, Aval Pasha Balei Batim, Ein Shom Misha Bar Lahakel, Shikra Agzeri Mishum Chasus, Vim Yochel Pas Balei Batim, Yovel Lesod Etzlam, so absolutely you can't have Pas Balei Bais. Now the Ramah then doesn't argue on that, he just says we need to define Pas Balei Bais. Pas Balei Bais is not defined as how many people are making it, is it a publicly owned corporation, no, that's not how we define Pas Balei Bais versus Pas Palter. Definition is the guy trying to make money, or is the guy doing this out of the goodness of his heart? If he's trying to make money, that's palter. If he's not trying to make money, that's Balei Bais. That's the definition of Balei Bais versus palter. But you see very clearly, the Ramah disagrees with the Mechaber. The Ramah takes a much more makel stance. The Makom Shapas Yisrael Matzu is going to allow you to buy from a palter. Why? Why would he allow you to buy from a palter when there's Pas Yisrael, from a palter of a Chavim, when there's Pas Yisrael Matzu? What's the Svara?
Maybe the guy's much better.
So, good. He doesn't say that at that point, right over there. It happens to be the Shulchan Aruch is going to come and say that, right? If you look in Sif Hey, from the Rashba, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Om Shemishi Yesh Biyado Pas, O Sheyesh Palter Yisrael. Vyesh Palter of Chavim also Pas Yafa Mimenu. O Miminacha Shem Biyado Shal Palter Yisrael. Or he makes a certain kind of bread that you can't get from the Jewish bakery. Mutter Likonos Mi Palter of Chavim, Makam Shnago Heter Pashal Palter. You can even buy in those circumstances. To keep him the daito nochi yosef paspalter zem ibn chashivus obeinav hareze kepas de chukalov. So perhaps, right, perhaps the Mechaber is giving us a hint to what the svara for the Ramah would be. Because what the Mechaber tells us what the svara to be matir is when the guy makes better bread than the Jew. What's the svara to be matir? Hareze kepas de chukalov. It's like a shasat chak. It's like a shasat chak. Now again, in the Lashon of the Rishonim, in the Lashon other than the Rambam, in the Lashon of the Yerushalmi that we saw, Shasat Chak, we didn't use the terminology Shasat Chak, we used the terminology Chaya Nefesh. I assume they mean pretty much the same thing. That Shasat Chak is more the terminology we're comfortable with, but Chaya Nefesh and Shasat Chak are pretty much the same basic heter. Now, what this is suggesting, therefore, is that Chaya Nefesh doesn't only mean if you have no other choice. It means even if you have another choice, but you like this better, that's also called chaye nefesh. Now this the Mechaber quotes from the other question you have to ask yourself is, what's the difference between this Mechaber in Sif Hey and the Ramah in Sif Beis? Is there any difference? Mechaber in Sif Hey and the Ramah in Sif Beis, are they saying the same exact thing? Ramah in Sif Beis said that afil b'makam shapasi sol matzui, it's mutter. Is that any different than the Mechaber? Yeah.
So maybe the Ramah saying any circumstance would make in any way if the guy is more convenient, if it's closer to you, anything, even if not only just the taste or if he makes a certain type, maybe Shulchan Aruch is limiting it to those two cases.
Shulchan Aruch gives precise cases.
Yes, maybe the Ramah any case that's more convenient.
Good. I'll take it one step further. Maybe the Ramah doesn't require anything. As long as you have a palter of kachavim, the Ramah's happy. He doesn't care if it's better, more convenient, or anything. As long as he's a palter, he's not a Balei Bais.
If it's not more convenient, what would be the reason behind doing it anyway?
What would be your... why would you want to do it? Because you're loyal to this guy. This is a guy you've been shopping at, or you like, or whatever, for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be a good reason. You know, whatever it might be. But the Ramah says it's mutter. It's mutter to get from a palter of a chavim. Now, if the Ramah is saying that, why would he hold it's mutter to get... You can't call that a shasat chak. Meaning, even if you, well, we'll take it one step at a time, but if we were drawing a line of, you know, most chamer to most kal, so we'd have the Mechaber in Sif Beis is pretty machmir. He's more in line with the Rambam, that a palter ovid kochavim is not okay unless it's a genuine shasat chak, meaning there's no other bread available. The most mekel shita seems to be the Ramah, palter ovid kochavim is always okay, even if there's palter Yisrael that's just as good. And in the middle, you have the Mechaber in Sif Hey, who quotes a Yesh Omrim, against the Stam Mechaber in Sif Beis. So he quotes a Yesh Omrim, that the Palter of Chavim is okay, provided that he's giving you something more than the Palter Yisrael is giving you. So you have other bread available, but it's not the same kind, or it's not as delicious. Those are the two cases. So, the most machmir shita we got, that's the Rambam. I think we gave a good svara for that. What about the middle ground and the Ramah, right? The most makel shita, yeah?
How do we not give the word matzah in the Ramah?
You think it means matzoi, but with some tircha.
Even if you saw matzoi, if it was 2 miles away, that is considered a shadal chag situation.
Ikr chasim in a sefer, if that's what he's saying. He sounds like he's trying to tell me a big kula. And he is. Matzoi means available to you. You have it. I would think that it means just as available as the bread of the non-Jew.
The reason I was saying that Ramal was saying that if it's more convenient for you, because if not, then he'd have no reason for what Shas.
You have no motivation. Well, people are crazy. People have their own nishagas that they like to do.
Otherwise, what do you do with the word Shas Adchak?
No, the Ramal's not saying Shas Adchak. The Ramal's saying it's not a Shas Adchak. He says you don't need a Shas Adchak. You could eat Pas Palter even without Shas Adchak. Everything's fine. You can eat Pas Palter. As long as it's not made by an individual guy, it's made by a bakery, you're good. I don't care what else is available to you. It doesn't matter. You don't have to ask any further questions. That's the Pashut reading of the Ramah, I think. You know what I mean?
Why are we assuming that Ramah needs Shas Adchak?
Why are we assuming? No, I didn't say the Ramah needs Shas Adchak. The Ramah doesn't.
So we're saying that as long as you get around Chasanas, then it's fine for the Ramah.
Like, so you're saying the Svar of the Ramah, to be totally makel, is Palter is, there's no concern for Chasanas, and he passed him straight up. No concern for Chasanas. Right. And you're good. Once you have Palter, it's no concern for Chasanas ever. But you don't need Shas Adchak. Where is the Rambam required a mixture of both? That you need to tell me that I'm not going to be concerned for Chasanas, plus you need some major Shas Adchak to allow it. The Rambam only needs one.
Right.
Okay, good. Now, think for a second, and you know, we can come back to this hopefully. What would drive that machlokas? Why would they argue about that point? What's the svar to say you should need both? What's the svar to say you should need one? Meaning, in terms of what they're arguing about, I think that's correct. Why would they each hold that shita? How are they reading our Gemara differently? That's going to each lead them to their respective shitas. Yeah.
I was also just looking. The Rama uses the word shari in contrast to the Chaver's mutter. So shari just means that it's okay. It's not preferable. It's not something necessarily great. It's something that you can get away with. But
I don't know about that. Is that true? Shari
just
means
that it's acceptable. That it doesn't. Mutter means that it's perfectly.
Shari,
fine.
I translate shari as mutter. I don't know. Do you have right of that? I've never heard such.
It seems like a word that just doesn't seem.
It seems less.
He can use the word mutter. It's not, you know, he has the Ramah does use mutter. You know,
yeah, but Shari's fair game in halakhic.
Shari just means that it's okay. It's not. But I would think that mutter would be a stronger lashon if you're going to say that it's something that it's okay to do.
No, what is saying ksubas? Guys learn ksubas. Shara lemivul b'tchil b'shabbos. Right, you have the term. Right, and it's not just a b'tchil.
Yeah.
Right. I think so. I could be making that up, but I think it says that. Right. I think Shari does mean mutter l'chavila. So I don't think the deed is correct. I think it does mean mutter l'chavila. Yeah?
No? We're going to say what Malchus is?
You have a svara?
I can say it's based on Henry Sada.
No?
Oh, that basically the Ramah would say like Rashi and Rama and Shulchan Aruch would say like Rama.
Rama would say like Rashi that Sada just means that it's not going to lead to an ongoing thing. So the Rama says there are two ways that it won't lead to an ongoing thing. Either he's a Nachtom. Or it's besada. Problem is, that's none of the days in the Gemara, even according to the Ramah. Because the Gemara said, even the man diyama that holds a nachtom, a palter is okay. That's only if, and the Gemara had two possibilities. Either only if there's no palter Yisrael, or only if sada. So, one of those two days has to be correct. The Ramah's passing against both of them. Because the Ramah is saying, even if there is Palter Yisrael, you're not besada. As long as you have Palter of the Kavim, that's all you need. So, right, the Ramah is passing against both in the last four lines of Gemara, where you have Rabbi Chelbo and Rabbi Yochanan, each qualifying the Shita that holds. It's important to remember the Gemara. I told you, every line of this Gemara is important, Allah Levaisa. That each of them is qualifying the Deya that holds, that Palter is Mutter, and each says, not across the board. Palter Avicham is not always mutter. You either need no palter Yisrael, or you need sada. And the Ramah says, nah, you don't. You don't need. So the Rambam wants to say, you need both of those things. Good? The Rashba might say, well, we'll get to the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch in a second, yeah?
So maybe it's, once again, how far is see nowadays, we see that everybody's doing it. So how much heter
good, good, good. So that's what I thought the Ramah must be based on. The Ramah must be based, I thought exactly like you. I thought the Ramah must be based on not these last two lines of Gemara, these last few lines of Gemara, where they're qualifying that Shita. The Shita is irrelevant. The Shita of Palti Yisrael being Mutter, it's not a Shita. It's a din in that the, it was a Gzeira Sheir Rav Tzibur Chol Lamudba. And therefore the Gzeira was never impactful. It's not binding on us. But what's it not binding on us for in those parts of the Gzeira that were difficult for us, that the Tzibur did not accept? But those parts of the Gzeira that the Tzibur did accept, then the Gzeira is still intact. Which part did the Tzibur yes accept? We could live without taking a gift from our Gaiish neighbor of bread. Now we were able to survive with. But not to go to the bakery? That we never accepted. So the Ramah could be passing like the group, significant group of Rishonim that we saw yesterday, that hold when it's a Gzeira Shein Rav Tzibur Chol Lamudba, the Gzeira never took effect. So it doesn't need to fit into these last few lines of the Gemara. It's not passing like these last few lines of the Gemara.
Could it still fit into the last two lines by at least taking the kula of both, that if they're arguing,
Shlomo Kluger, right? Yeah, but then that Shlomo Kluger is like a it's a believe it or not. It doesn't we don't want to be Mosivan to, you know. Okay, I have people who have no idea what we're talking about. But yeah, okay, good.
How do Ramah and Alter Shlomo answer why they're defending so hard a sheet that doesn't exist?
What do you mean by that?
He said that he's not focusing on the lines where it defends the Mutter Shita. He's saying, you know, it never existed at all.
Exactly, yeah.
So then why is the Gemara going on such a tangent about something that doesn't exist?
Oh, why? Meaning, what's the point of this whole Gemara?
The last couple of lines are saying why.
So maybe the Ramah would understand that these few lines of Gemara, or that whole group of Rishonim, and these few lines of Gemara are within the possibility that they're within the Shita, that that was the nature of the Gzeira, but we paskin that it's not that that was the nature of the Gzeira. The reason that we're Mekel is not because of any limitations on the Gzeira, but simply because the Gzeira never took hold. And in Chinami, there was a Shita that the Gzeira maybe took hold. Maybe there was a Shita that the Gzeira took hold, and they're just touching up exactly what it is. But maybe he's paskining, no, we don't have such a Shita. Yeah.
So I'm like the Aruch Shulchan that there are certain places that they weren't Makabal, this is it.
Right, and that was based on, we saw yesterday, The Rush said that some places yes Makabel, some places not Makabel. So you could say it's totally on Makom, but the Ramah doesn't seem to say it's totally on Makom. The Ramah is very straightforward with the Kula. I want to get to the Aruch HaShulchan in a second because I think he has something very profound to say, but there's one more sheet that we haven't touched. We explained the Mechaber Sif Beis slash Rambam. We explained the Ramah Sif Beis. What about the middle ground? Shitas HaRashba. Yes, you can buy from a Palter Ovid Kochavim. And yes, even if there is a Palta Yisrael, you could do it like the Ramah says, but the Palta Yisrael can't be as good. So when does tastiness play a role in the halacha?
That's what Shas
says. So says the Bach, in explaining this Shitas Rashba, which he was not very fond of at first, it seems like. The Bach in source number 10 did not seem to be particularly thrilled with the Rashba, but at the end he says, you know, but Tzarech Lomar, three lines from the end, the Svir Leila Rashba, the Kol Shepas Shel Palter Yafa Mishal Yisrael, Is Beinami Misham Chaye Nefesh. That's also called Chaye Nefesh. Having better tasting bread is called Chaye Nefesh. And this is the ultimate Raya, that Chaye Nefesh doesn't mean Pikuach Nefesh. Because you live to eat, you don't, right? No, eat to live, not live to eat, whatever it is. You don't need the tastiest food in the world to survive. You'll be okay without the tastiest food. What does chayin nefesh mean? It means cramping our lifestyle. It means if it's a normal way to eat normal, delicious bread, Chazal weren't goes there to cramp our lifestyle. We're not going to force a person to eat something he doesn't like. So that's how the Bach explains the Shitas HaRashba. Now, in terms of, that's very good. So it's Chaye Nefesh, the Bach understands. The Bach, therefore, essentially, or the Rashba, therefore, essentially, in principle, agrees with the Rambam. You need Chaye Nefesh to make it a sufficient Shasat Chak, and you also need Palter in order to make it that there's no concern of Chasnus, right? You need the combination of the two, but how he's going to define Chaye Nefesh is so much broader. That's what it seems to be the Shita Sarash, but that middle ground Shita. Yeah.
It's probably a stretch, but you say that the fact that maybe if you don't let him eat the taste of your bread, if he goes by and smells it, we say that it's like Sakana if you
So do we say that for anybody? We say that for a lady who just had a baby. We say that for.
No, we say for a shamish that we, the reason we feed him first is we don't want to smell it and he's gonna be.
And it's gonna be mamish sakana. That's what you say.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be sakana. Yeah,
yeah,
it says that. I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah. Okay. Is it? Do we mean that seriously? Are we allow them to eat in Yom Kippur? Because in Yom Kippur, who do we allow to eat if they smell something? So it's a woman who just had a baby, something like that. Right, so then we say, okay, she smells something and she says she needs it. She knows herself better. Chola. So we don't say for stam a regular guy. They smell something delicious on Yom Kippur that we would. If it was mamash sakana, you'd allow it on Yom Kippur. No, so the shamash you'd allow on Yom Kippur. I don't think so. It probably wouldn't work. Yeah.
How far do we go with cramping one's lifestyle? Like,
good. I'll get to that in a second. We'll get to the gedarim in a second. Same question. Okay. Now. The Mechaber was pointed out, I forget who pointed out, gave two specific examples, not, right, you said, gave two very specific examples of what it means, when he quoted the Rashba, Sifhei, two very specific examples of what it means that that the pas of the Ovid Kochavim Palter is better than the pas of the Jewish Palter. Specific examples were tastier and different kind. It's a kind of bread you can't get anywhere else. The Jewish bakery just doesn't make Italian bread. Only the Goyish bakery makes Italian bread. So it's a different surah, it's a different kind of bread for whatever reason. What if it's cheaper? That's the most common case. You get a loaf of bread in the supermarket, it's a lot cheaper than going to your local bakery and getting a loaf of bread. Because the Wonder Bread company or whatever company, they make so much of it, such volume, and have such an operation going on, it's just a heck of a lot cheaper. Is that enough? Is that enough to be called Chayei Nefesh? And I think this issue gets to the root of Chayei Nefesh also. It helps us be Magdir Chayei Nefesh a little more carefully. What would you say, Misvara?
Yeah, we usually have, you know, in the laws, we see more kulas of, you know, mafsid mamon than of, you know, better taste.
Torah chas al mamon shel Yisrael. Good? But is that chayei nefesh or is that something else? The fact that we're sensitive to Jewish money, we don't want it to, you know, be wasted. Is that chayei nefesh or is that some other similar type of idea? Or not even
well,
so similar?
I don't know if I was necessarily applying it within chayei nefesh.
So you're saying, if there's a chayei nefesh heter, that should be a heter too.
I mean, I don't know enough about mamash mamon, but if it was, you know.
But within the gedarim of pas akum, it seems that there is such a heter of chayei nefesh. I don't know if there's a heter of the Torah chas al mamon shel Yisrael.
Okay.
In this regard, for whatever the couple of pennies of difference, or whatever it's going to be. If it was literally, who knows, maybe they would have made such a gedarim if there was reason to, but they didn't, as far as we know. So is that called chayei nefesh also?
It's it, but then you're limited. This is only by a weekday, because like I meant that technically you're supposed to spend money as you can.
Ah, okay. We'll get to the differences perhaps then also. Excellent. But let's focus on this. You're right. Let's focus on this question though. Is that chayei nefesh? Is that the definition of chayei nefesh? How do you understand chayei nefesh? What do you expect the postman to say? Right? Before you open up any postman, it's always good to have an expectation of what they're going to say so that you can know when to be surprised and when you have to start analyzing a little bit further. So what would you expect in this situation, based on everything we know about chayei nefesh? Is cheaper chayei nefesh? By the way, just one more thing. I realize I'm jumping a little bit. When the Mechaber in Sif Hei quotes Yesh Omrin, and it's directly against what he said in Sif Beis, which is Yesh Mekomos, how's he paskening? He never tells us, I hold this way, I hold that way.
So
Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, and the tshuva we're going to get back to at a different time because it's a very critical tshuva in terms of the gedarim of pasakim in general, but it's about bagels, whether you have to worry about pasakim and bagels, very nogel lemaisa. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that v'av shekasav ze b'loshon yesh omrim mashma sheposek ein dalom hevi cholik al ze. Mechaber doesn't quote anyone as cholik, and therefore it's probable that he paskins that way. That the sifei, he says it in yesh omrim. But he doesn't quote anyone as cholik on the Yesh Omrim. If you say Yesh Omrim, but you don't quote, it's like the Rambam we had with the Gaonim, right? That cuts the mitzvah of the Gaonim. Doesn't quote anyone says otherwise. Doesn't quote anyone says otherwise. Must be that Rav Moshe bothered me though, because he does quote someone who says otherwise. That's Sif Beis. Sif Beis is against Sif Hei. But you're right. I think Rav Moshe's maskana is correct. I just don't understand the way he worded it. His maskana is correct. Yes, that the Mechaber is passing like Sif Hei. I think that's correct. But I think it's lav mitaimei. Rav Moshe is saying the Maskar is correct because he doesn't quote anyone who argues. I'll tell you, yes, he does quote someone who argues in Sif Beis. He says Yesh Mekam Shnagu and then Yesh Omrim. Why do we pass them like the Sif, like Sif Hay? Because that's one of the rules of Shulchan Aruch. Whenever there's a Yesh Omrim and Yesh Omrim, we pass them like the second Yesh Omrim. Whenever there's a Stam and Yesh Omrim, Shulchan Aruch just says something Stam and then he says V'Yesh Omrim. Otherwise, how do you paskin? Like the Stam, right? But when it's a Yesh Omrim V'Yesh Omrim, Rav Avadya Yosef in the end of one of the volumes of Yechav Hadass says all the klalim, the rules of the Lashonos of Mechaber, Maran Beit Yosef, of how exactly to paskin in each. So Yesh Omrim, you always paskin like the second. That's the major shaila we'll probably get to sometime at the end of the summer about Hechsher having to kasher kelim that you were used. Well, we'll get to in a couple of weeks that you used for Bishul Akum. If a guy cooked in your kli, does the kli need to be kashered? So the Mechaber over there says Yesh Omrim that it doesn't, but Yesh Omrim that it does need to be kashered. So many rabbanim will say, oh, okay, it's 2 days in the Mechaber that you, okay, so you can be Mekel. But it's not really 2 days in the Mechaber. Yes, it's 2 days in the Mechaber, but there's a rule what you do when there are 2 days in the Mechaber like that. It's Yesh Omrim, you pass like the second one. You need to kasher it. Rabbi Bolson just asked me a shayla last week, that someone, the babysitter, cooked something. Do we need to kasher the frying pan? So he wasn't really asking me the shayla. He couldn't think of any other sniff lahakel. He knows the halacha better than I do. Right, but he make his wife happy. He calls me up, so just to blame it on me instead of him, right? But then when the second Yesh Omrim, I said, Rebbe, you know the halacha better than I do, so we were trying to come up with any other sniff halacha. Now the fact that it is a good halachic point in general that I made last night also, when you have 2 deos in Shulchan Aruch, that's a stronger. As I said yesterday, even when you paskin against a certain shita, sometimes we'll use that shita in a Shas Chak, and that's part of Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Depending on how weak the shita is, you know, it will dictate what circumstances you can use a rejected shita. If you have 99 Rishonim that say one way, and the Tosfos Chachmei Hungaria that say, you know, whatever that you found somewhere that says the other way, so it's very hard to use that as a sniff lahakel, in a real shayla. But when both are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that's the strongest sniff lahakel you could have. That's Namish Day in Shulchan Aruch. So with that, with Hechsher Kalim for Bishul Akum, I'm always, my minug, I don't know, it didn't really come from anywhere, so it's probably wrong, but my minug is if there's any other sniff lahakel, I'll always be makel not to be machshir the Kalim. If there's any other shita to be makel, since it's the day in Shulchan Aruch you're dealing with. So even though the rule is you go like the second Yesh Omrim, but it's a very strong, the halachic sensitivity is that the first Yesh Omrim is still strong enough to use it if there's anything else to combine it with. But anyway, I'm getting totally off track. Where was I? So good. So is cheaper bread chai nefesh? Is that called chai nefesh?
We say it's called far-fetched, but we said it the other day about chai nefesh tying to chasnas. That chai nefesh with regards to taste, if you don't like the taste of Jewish bread, it's command glaze, it doesn't exist to you. You're only going to eat the Jewish bread. So that's the issue of chasnas. Cheaper, yeah, I'd rather buy cheaper bread, but the Jewish bread still exists. It's still a viable option for me.
Say good. You intuitively understand that there's a chiluk between the examples of the Shulchan Aruch and the cheaper bread. I think you could say it sharper. I think you could say it sharper. What's the chiluk between? No, say it. Lumdicize it. Yeah.
The difference is it's talking about the quality of the actual bread, not how you get the bread.
Ah, very good. Right. I think that's lumdicize. Is it a din in the bread, or is it a din? Right. Is it something about the bread itself, or is it something about how you go about getting that bread, right? So in the Sefer Chalkas Binyamin, which I've told you is the Bible on Ma'achal Yakum. So in sources 14-15, at the beginning of putting together the Mar Makomos, I was typing up the Chalkas Binyamin, and then there were so many I wanted to quote, I just gave up and photocopied them all in the back. But in sources number 14-15, when I was still typing, Nira de Ratzalomer Shehu Yafa Mimenu Betaimo Inami V'Mar Iso. What does it mean? Better bread? Tastes better or looks better? Looks nicer. Then he quotes in number 15, Sivkot Nanal, for Mashma de Dafka Machus Maila, Beguf ha pas, hu de Sharinan. Avalim rotse liknos, pas ako mevneshe bzult fe, inami mevneshe tirchas likichasa muetes, vakol ki agavna, shenu toli beguf ha pas, osim. If it's not something beguf ha pas, namely it's cheaper or the Jewish bakery is a couple of miles away. The Jewish bakery is right down the block. A little more of a tircha. They're both in town. One's a little bit, it's hard to find parking by the Jewish bakery. It's on Central Avenue. The Gaish bakery is much easier to find parking because no one goes there. So a little more tircha, so he says that's not chayin nefesh. I think Rabbi Ganach said that he's not convinced by that. He thinks maybe it is chayin nefesh. What's the yisod machlokas? What is chayin nefesh? Is chayin nefesh, again, the way we've been describing chayin nefesh, clearly not pikuach nefesh, we got that down. But it's chayin nefesh is the chacham aren't going to cramp your enjoyment of your normal meals. And if you eat normally in a way where you're eating good bread, tasty bread at a meal, so then that eating good, tasty bread is chayin nefesh for you. But how much money you have to spend in order to avoid an iser? That's a totally different sugya. It's got nothing to do with chayin nefesh. Chayin nefesh is about enjoying your meal. You're going to enjoy your meal every bit as much if you spend $2 on the loaf of bread, if you spend $5 on the loaf of bread. You'll enjoy the meal the same. Chayin nefesh relates to your enjoyment of the meal. It's to how you're going to eat. That's what the Chalkas Binyamin, Rabbi Binyamin Kohn, that's what he seems to assume. L'chora, that's the Pasha Pshan. That's the more Pasha Pshan Chayin nefesh. To say that cheaper, why would Rabbi Ganach say that cheaper bread, and it's amazing that this discussion is two guys who are, you know, young men today. Like, I couldn't find this anywhere else. Nobody spoke about if it was cheaper bread. It's like, it's unbelievable. You look at all the Nosei Kelim, you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, you don't talk about it. So you have a 50-year-old rabbi in Flatbush and a 60-year-old rabbi in New Jersey having a machlokas about this. It's wild. But Rabbi Ganach just read the Shulchan Aruch and said, okay, nicer bread. What difference? It means if it's at all inconvenient. That's how we understood Chayin Nefesh. It's related to the inconvenience factor. I don't think that's pshat, though. I think Rabbi Yamin Kohen has a very strong point over here. It's not about convenience. It's about Chayin Nefesh. It's about how you enjoy the meal.
If they bring down that, you can have one of them holds that you can have better quality bread, like if it's a guy, right, because of Chayin Nefesh. So doesn't that nullify the whole paying less, paying cheaper? Because if you're having their bread because it's better quality, so you might be probably paying more.
No, he's saying, what he's saying is, what if it were the same quality, but the guy's bread is cheaper? What if they were equal and the guy's bread was cheaper? Is that as much of a chayin nefesh concern as having better bread, right? Or does the dafka have to be better? That's what I think the issue is.
I think what the argument would come down to is the chaver amah. Amah would say that money would make it chayin nefesh.
Why?
Because he seems to be being much.
The Ramah wouldn't even need any of this, right? The Ramah would just say, as long as it's a baker, as long as the guy who's not a balabais, you're okay. Rama wouldn't even require any of this. This is all within the Shittas of Rashba, which is the middle ground opinion that they could argue. Right? One could have said that this whole debate is not halacha l'maaseh at all anyway, because we could pass it like the Rama.
But he gave two specific examples. How could money be included if it wasn't an actual example?
Why wasn't money one of the examples?
Yeah, if you want to say that.
Okay, well, then maybe rephrase it a little bit. The two examples were not specific. One of them was that one of them was specific. It's a different kind of bread. What was the other example that he gave?
Yafeh.
What does yafeh mean? Gooder, right? Better. That's all it means. So what does that mean? So that's what he says. It means tastier. It means, and maybe it means cheaper. I got a great deal. Why is it great? Because it's cheaper. Not because it's such a great product that I bought. So it could be that they're arguing just on what the lashon means. Question is, what would cause you to say one way or the other? How you define chayin nefesh?
That's a Ramosha. Probably says that Rav Hassan and Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
So can you just say that? I mean, Shulchan Aruch is in the Sif Beis is just outlining what the requirements are in order to eat it, and fine, then he establishes that as a foundation. And Sif Hei, he's just expanding his definition of chayin nefesh. And there's like the Rambam and the Rashba, is just that. And there's the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis just indicate.
What's he doing in Sif Beis? I didn't follow that. What's he doing in Sif Beis?
He's just saying what you need, the two qualifications in order to eat, whatever, Yesh Mekomos and Paspalter and Chai Nefesh. But in Sif Beis, he starts expanding a little bit on his definition of Chai Nefesh.
I would have said different. Because I don't know, I'm not sure if that Sif Beis is setting up principles. I think it's also Paschal Halacha. I was going to say, it's not a Yesh Omrim v'Yesh Omrim. There's a big difference between the words Yesh Mekomos and Yesh Omrim. No, so say it. What's the difference? You don't know what the difference is. So anyone ever thought, what's the difference?
There's Minhag HaMakom that doesn't necessarily mean
Yesh Mekomos means, but everywhere else it's us or still. Right? Yesh Mekomos means There were some communities that had such a heter. We don't have that heter in our communities. Yesh Mekamos doesn't sound like it's something that's for Klal Yisrael. The Yesh Omer Ben Sefei is for Klal Yisrael. So the only daya that he quotes for all the Klal Yisrael is Sefei. That's what I thought. Right? You hear that?
So Chai Nefesh can be based off of convenience? I just don't understand. Because, I mean, to say that it's just...
Yeah, I'm with Rabbi Yaman Kohn on this, that it cannot be based off of convenience. I'm just saying, I heard the Shem Rabbi Ganax that he holds that it can be.
Like, why don't we just say that even, you know, for food on Shabbos? I mean, let's say, you know, I shouldn't have to use a Kli Shlishi because it's really annoying.
You're dealing with halacha over there.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like things that would typically you remove an Isser of the Rabbanan. Why don't we just say?
No, we're defining the terminology of Chayei Nefesh. When you have a heter for, you know, the in place called Chayei Nefesh, Lamashal, someone once stopped me. They heard that I said that they were allowed to shower on Yantif with warm water, so they said, oh, you change that halacha, which other halachas are you going to change? Right? You know, everything that used to be us is now mitzvah. Balaam would say no. Anything that used to be, is now going to be mitzvah. But it was based on a fundamental lack of understanding. That comment is based on a fundamental lack of understanding of how the halacha works. In Hilchus Yantif, there's a mechanism in place called Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. What fits into Shavu L'Kol Nefesh? Well, that changes. When you have a mechanism in place, you have a halachic concept in place, you just have to define what fits that halachic concept. You can't just then compare it to other areas of halacha where you don't have that concept. Right? Chayei Nefesh is a concept we have in halachos of Pasakum. We don't have that concept anywhere else. Right? So it's like Shavu L'Kol Nefesh by Hilchus Yantif.
How do you translate that in English? Sorry.
Which?
Chayei Nefesh.
Good question. I would think.
I'm just curious. Like,
yeah. So what have I been saying? The natural enjoyment of a meal.
So you have to translate it into the words.
That's why Hebrew works a lot better.
The Hebrew works a lot better. The enjoyment of a meal. That's like Rav Lachman used to yell at us. Someone would come and say, "It's chefza gavri." You don't even know what a chefza means. What do you use English? You can't say it in English. You don't know what it means. Yes, I guess chayei nefesh. That's why I wasn't in the shiur. I didn't like getting yelled at. But chayei nefesh, I guess we mean the natural enjoyment of a meal.
If you want to make the chiluk between Yesh Omer and Yesh Mekamos, then why doesn't the Rama just spell out Lo Nagu Mekam? I mean, he doesn't spell that at the end of Yesh Mekamos, does he?
Yeah, well, he says V'Yesh Omer. Right? He quotes the Yesh Omer that's chalik in Sifpeis. Sifpei, he doesn't quote anyone that's chalik, interestingly. Even though, maybe because he's relying on what he already wrote in Sifpeis. It's very strange that it's three sifim apart from each other. The whole, the same discussion, you know, normally you'd have like all the shitos lined up. It's very strange that these would be three sifim apart from each other. Maybe that goes to what Yoni was saying before about laying out the principles. I don't know, it's a little unusual.
He's saying like principles, he can tell you like a little bit of the history, like what they do. He's not like, you know, he's not coming down strong. He's giving you the outline and he's...
Yeah, I just don't know the Shulchan Aruch does that. I mean, the whole point of the Shulchan Aruch is that it's a kitzur book. It's meant to be...
It's not like, you know, he's not so far in it.
Yeah, but basically I'll see if he does that. What do we have to do that in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch, just tell me what I need to know.
So the general definition of Chayei Nefesh is like the general enjoyment of it. And the Mechaber brings down Pas Yafa from the Yesh Omer. So how can we extend that to money?
So that's what I'm saying. According to Rabbi Yamin Kohn, you can't. Because it relates to enjoyment of the meal.
Because the
way Rabbi Ganak read, and by the way, I have no idea how old Rabbi Binyamin Kohn or Rabbi Ganak are. I don't know if they're 50, 60. I just made that up before. I don't want to get in trouble here. But according to the way Rabbi Ganak read the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's more convenient, that's good enough. I mean, he understands Chayei Nefesh as, is there any dochak whatsoever? Is there anything pressing you to want to buy? Meaning, what would the svara be? I think it's what Eli said last night, that when it comes to chasnus, the concern is, are you going to the guy for no good reason? If you're going to him for no good reason, that's relationship making right there. But if you're going because you have some ulterior motive to go, that's not relationship making. You're going because you have an ulterior motive. Cheaper, better, different kind, those are ulterior motives. So the way Rabbi Ganak would read it is, it's just a list of ulterior motives. It's not. It doesn't have to fit a halachic concept called chayei nefesh. It doesn't use the term chayei nefesh.
Just,
Didn't we also say that high nefesh is also conducive to making a relationship with God?
Yeah, we said a lot of svaras, but I'm just saying like that. That's how that daya would read that sif in Shulchan Aruch. I never even heard this from Rabbi Gnak Beferish. Someone told me b'shmo, but assuming that there is such a daya out there, I mean, it could be me saying it. I mean, no one talks about this, so anyone could say it. Yeah.
Would loyalty fall under a relationship making or ulterior motive?
Probably relationship making.
It's one of the reasons you gave before why one good.
Yeah, that's probably relationship making. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That, I think, concludes our discussion of just the basic approach in the halacha. And, doesn't really. Okay, a couple more things. How do we paskin lemaisa lemaisa now? You have mechaber aman sifeis. You have mechaber again in sifei. Lemaisa lemaisa. What do the later achronim say? So there is a Chach Masadim, didn't make it into the Mar Mekomos, in Simon Samachay, Klal Samachay, Chach Masadim goes by Klal, Samachay Oz Beis, where he says, we assume like the Raman Sif Beis, La Halacha, which is the most makel opinion, anytime it's a baker, it's okay, but we try to be Machmir for the Shach. What does the Shach say? If you look at source number 16, Shach, going on this Ramah, that even when there is a Palter Yisrael available, you're still allowed to buy from the Palter Akum. He says, "Miu nira." In the end of the second line, there, the Yesh Lizayir Af Kol Yemos Hashana Shalol Likach Pas Shalovit Chav Min Apalter Hecha the Yesh Palter Yisrael Im Lo Shapas Lovit Chav Miyofi Yoser Daos Shari Kedil Kaman Sevei. So even though the Rama in Sevei's Chach Zadim says Lahalacha, you can pass like the Rama in Sevei's Lechavchila, you should be knowing like the Shach, which is the same as the Mechaber in Sevei. The middle ground opinion. So he's not suggesting to be totally machmir, but he's saying don't buy from a nachtom ovid chavim, from a palter ovid chavim, if there's a palter yisrael available of equal quality. If the palter yisrael is not of equal quality, fine, then you could buy from the palter ovid chavim. That's how the Chach Masadim understands the halacha. Now, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, right, you mentioned you looked before in the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 17, Siman Kuf Yud Beis Si'if Yud Zayin, says the Aruch HaShulchan, He quotes the Shita of the Ramah, and he says, what's the Ramah based on exactly the Lamdus we said before, that it has to be that it was just Lomis Fashid Isser, that the Isser was never accepted, was never widely accepted. And he says, aye, then you're going to ask, and what about Paspal Abayi? Shouldn't that be Mutter also, if the Gzer was never widely accepted? So he said exactly what we said before, which is what? That Paspal Abayi was accepted. Paspalter was never accepted. Right, the Gzeira was never accepted in regards to Paspalter. Okay, but what do you do? Bottom line, Alach L'maisa. So he says, Mikol Makom Yosin Nira, Derak Apalter Koyv Lo Paspal Bayis, the Afrika of the Lone Spasha Gzeira Zu, Mikol Makom Paspal Bayis is Hiru Atzman, I'm sorry, Vafilu Mipalter Yesh Li Zaher, here it is, Vafilu Mipalter Yesh Li Zaher, Im Yesh Palter Yisrael, Vapas Yafra Kamo Paspalter Shalahem. If you have a Jew of equal quality that's making the same stuff, you have to be careful. Meaning, like the Rashba, like the Mechaber and Sif, hey, that's what he seems to be passing halacha l'maisa. That if the Jew makes something of equal quality, then you have to buy from the Jew. Good? Now, look at source number 18. Source number 18 is the Aruch HaShulchan in Aruch Chaim Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, not in Yoredeya. And he tells us, we know that there is a Minhag Yisrael, that during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we take upon ourselves chumras. Why are we taking upon ourselves chumras during Aseres Yimei Tshuva? Who are we fooling? Okay, so all the Bali Musa talk about that. You're not fooling anybody, but it's just a way of showing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to go the extra mile. It's a gesture we make. It's like, by the mashal I've heard, it's like being super nice to your wife on your anniversary. She understands that you're not going to be that nice to her every day, but still, it's understood that it's the right thing to do on the anniversary to be a little extra nice, right? So you make a breakfast in bed on the anniversary, you're not going to make a breakfast in bed any other day. Fine, that's the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Aseres Yimei Tshuva is a time of closeness with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We take upon ourselves all these chumras. But the Aruch HaShulchan makes a point of saying, Aval Devarim Sheyesh, he says, when is this true? He says, Nirlani is Daiti, Dizeinu El B'Devarim Sheyin Vem Isra Min Adin. This is only when there's not a halachic debate about what you're accepting upon yourself. Aval dvarim shi yesh poskim iser min hadin, אלא שנוהגים על פי דסם התירון כמו חדש בחוץ לארץ או בסוף לסיר חיוצי בזה, אי אפשר לנוקן ועשר עשי מתשובה, תקיבן שאין אוכלם ביום מילו הרי זה כי קיבלו עליהם דיוס האוסרים, unbelievably important, הערב די ערך השולחן, that in your chumras of עשר עשי מתשובה, make sure they're all really just chumras. If your chumras of Aseres Yimei are really deos in poskim that hold the chumra, even though you're knowing to go like the other deos that hold the kula, don't take deos in poskim that hold the chumra for Aseres Yimei Tshuva, because then it becomes that you're taking in, it's ki'ilu, you're paskining like those deos now, and then you can't finish that when Aseres Yimei Tshuva ends. If you're changing the way you paskin, so then you have to stick with that. It has to be something that's clearly understood as a chumra. What are we knowing during a Seres Yimei Tshuva? Paspalt, the one thing. We're knowing to be makpid, not to eat paspalt. We eat only pas Yisrael. Does that fit the Aruch HaShulchan's own definition? No? We had deos in Shulchan Aruch that held that paspalt is asir. When there's pas Yisrael available, even if it's not quite as good. And the Aruch HaShulchan comes and tells me, yeah, that's not a din to be machmir that way. That's just a chumrah to be machmir that way. I couldn't make heads and tails of the, I don't know how these two, how everything we know fits into this Aruch HaShulchan and Aruch Chaim. How can you say this isn't a din? Of course this is a machlokas and din. It's machlokas Rishonim. It makes it to the pages in Shulchan Aruch. No, this is just a chumrah. That's why many people suggest if you're knowing like Rav Moshe with the chalav companies, don't take upon yourself Chal of Yisrael during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Why? Because there are deos in poskim, very strong deos in poskim that we saw that hold that Chal of HaKompanies is Chal of HaKom. And that's a din. It's a machlokas and din. It's not, oh, you could be knowing like Rav Moshe Mikra Din, but we want to be Machmir. No, those who are Chalik and Rav Moshe are Chalik and Rav Moshe. They hold that it's a din. So you can't take that upon yourself during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Why is this any different? I'm leaving that as an open-ended question. Yeah?
Why can't it be that all the Rishonim and Gemara is just within the minhag of it? Even though the Gezerah...
So you're saying the Aruch HaShulchan understood that really the Gezerah is totally batel. And it's a question of what people were knowing upon themselves. So then it's all talim in. It could be, maybe that's the pshat. But does he say that? Does he hold that it was totally batel? Yeah, he does say that actually. That fits very nicely, right? He does say in Yoredeya that it was lo nespashik zeruzu, but by paspal abatim his hiru atzman. They were knowing to be careful themselves about paspal abatim. So even the whole issur of paspal abatim, he thinks, is not really an issur. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the answer, that even the whole basis of the Yisr is only a Chumrah, because really Mikra Dini Pasal's like Tosos. Lonus Pashet. Gzerah never took hold. Which would mean it's Pasal like the Ramah, right? Ramah seems to say that.
Would there be any difference whether before the Sarah Sumer Shuvah start, you say, I read Holy Grab Moshe, I'm just doing this as a Chumrah?
Right. So if you say Bli Neder before you make a Neder, it works, right? So that Lachara, that's the same thing. So it should work. But it's just a dangerous thing to start messing around with. It was in the Dharma also. It's not good to make a neder by saying Bli Neder. It's better to not say it at all. Right? So it's just, these are things we try not to mess around with. In the Dharma, specifically in the Dharma, and during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we're very careful about, right? We do Ataras in the Dharma during that time, because Bavon Nedarim, Bad Mesim Kshem Ketanim, the Gemara in Mesach Shuvos, Mesach Zedarim tells us, right, that when a person does sins of Nedarim, the punishments are severe. Children dying young, it's a very... Right, that's a very, very sad and severe punishment. So we try to avoid any nedarim issues. So he says, dafka, with a heightened sensitivity to nedarim, try to avoid things like that.
Just to go back for a second, in the Aruch HaShulchan, what would he say about pas balabais and shasadcha?
Pas balabais during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the rest of the year.
The rest of the year,
probably he would say b'shasadcha. What do you mean by b'shasadcha? Oh, pas balabais. I think he would say aser. I think he would say don't do it, because that we were knowing that. And again, but only mitam minag. Only mitam minag, but still I think he would say asr.
An example, what about the example of nispashet?
Yeah, that was lo nispashet, but we were makabalo on ourselves paspal bayis, not to eat paspal bayis. And the heter only works for paspalter. So I think that's what he would say. That's the Aruch HaShulchan. Just another quick ha'ara or two before Mariv. The Mishnah Berurah says something that I thought was also unbelievable. Mishnah Berurah says that some people that are noheg, even people who are noheg to eat pas palter, which is pretty much all of us, on Shabbos and Yantif you should try to eat only pas Yisrael. Why? Covet Shabbos. How do you understand? How do you magdir the concept of covet Shabbos? So normally we think covet Shabbos is nicer clothes, better food. That's covet Shabbos. Now those are halachic concepts. We don't sneeze at those things. Those are important things. Our clothes must be nicer on Shabbos. I don't know if I mentioned, but Zilberstein has in that funny sefer in Varevna, someone asked if you're allowed to, someone got a job to be one of the people by the palace in England. You know, one of those guys that doesn't... What?
Changing
the guards guys, right? And he got a uniform with a gun and everything, and but he has to work on Shabbos. Is he allowed to do that on Shabbos? Is there any issue with doing it on Shabbos? Is the gun carrying Bereshus Aravim, or is it a tachshit? So Zilberstein said it's a tachshit. It's not an issue of carrying. Even though normally a gun, if it's functional, is meant to be is an issue of carrying, but in this context, it's clearly just a tachshit. It's like wearing any other part of the uniform. But he says, it's the same uniform 7 days a week. Can't take the job for that reason. There's a din of Kavod Shabbos. You have to be Mechavod Shabbos with Begadim Na'im, with nicer clothing. Same clothing. So that was his, of all the places, to come up with a, you know, tell the guy not to take a job. That's what he came up with. But Kavod Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah is telling us another gedder of the din of Kavod Shabbos. He's expanding the gedder of the din of Kavod Shabbos, namely, to take on extra chumras on Shabbos, to be firmer on Shabbos. Where do we find that in Shas? You find it not by Talmid Chacham, but by Amaratzim. The Gemara says that even Amaratzim who are makel with issues of Trumas and Maisras and the like, not on Shabbos. Because Shabbos they're afraid of. They take on extra chumras on Shabbos. But Mishnah Berurah says that it's not only for Amaratzim, that taking on extra chumras on Shabbos is part of the Gedder Din of Kavod Shabbos. Okay, Bez Hashem, next time we're really going to get into the very halacha l'maisa inyanim, factory made bread, Jewish participation, how much Jewish participation is needed. We're going to have a parsha shiur right after Maariv, a parsha, 10-15 minute parsha, right after Maariv. Sunday we are here. We're in